and welcome back to the How to Be Good podcast. This episode is going to be slightly different. One thing is going to stay the same is I'm going to be here and so is Anchor. But what we thought we'd do is have a bit of a think about the last 20 episodes and what we've learned on the journey. And to do that, what we thought we'd do was ask each other some questions and see how that turns out. So we're going to get straight to it. So I'm going to be asking Anchor a number of questions around and about the last 20 episodes, and we'll see where she gets on. So are you ready?
Sort of. Not sure if I'm a little bit nervous.
Because I didn't show you the questions.
Exactly. I don't know what you're going to ask.
You didn't show a question to me either, so that's okay.
I know.
So having started this journey with both the podcast and trying to live more sustainably or a more sustainable life, where were the biggest surprises that you had from the interviews?
I think when we started the podcast, I did not know how many people there are out there that are doing something about it, that there's so many options, that there's so many ideas, that there's so many companies, large corporations and small companies working on climate change solutions, on our future. That was the biggest surprise.
Yeah, it was good. I actually think that made such a difference, certainly for me, in terms of increasing positivity, perhaps.
I definitely started feeling like there's no hope and there's no future. And I was proven wrong. There's definitely hope, and there's definitely a lot of people out there working to combat climate change, finding solutions, and just bringing to the markets new innovative ways to live. There's definitely something that everyone should get involved with. And we completely understand the feeling that you're on your own, that if you change a little bit, it's not going to make a difference. Believe me, it makes the world of difference.
Absolutely. So tell me about some of the things that you did learn then from this. I'm going to actually put it exclusively to the podcast rather than the journey, because we started taking a journey before the podcast. Mm. I mean, as people that have listened to our episodes before, we as a whole family went vegan quite a while ago now, and we'd already starting making some changes. But the podcast journey was to explore more and to find out more and to understand other ways. So on the podcast side of things, what are some of the things that you learned?
I think from right from the beginning, I've learned from the very first podcast, very first interview, I've learned an important thing about recycling. I'm not sure if it's recycling or waste. The war on waste is just to manage your rubbish bin. If that is empty, and if that goes out empty, or at least with a minimum amount, you've achieved better than anyone. So that's what I've learned from, and that's what I've concentrated on, that our waste bin is empty or near to empty.
Yeah, and I think it's been pretty much that every week. I mean, we started doing the research for the episode with Erin Rhodes.
Yes.
And we read her book, is it Waste Not?
Yes.
Yeah. And we read the other one as well. It was like a sequel or a guide manual, Waste Not More. I'd have to check on the name of that. But I remember we were, for reading a fair proportion of that, we were away on Rottnest Island, beautiful island. And we also watched a movie, Plastic Ocean.
Yes.
And I think the combination of reading the book and understanding what we could do and how we could do things, which is a very good book in terms of guidance, but also watching that movie kind of gave me a little bit of a shock into what we've got to do. And what we can do, though, which is good. If you're hearing a very strange noise at the moment, the dog is in our room and she's sleeping but having a dream and woofing at the same time. I don't know if you can hear. She's always part of the team, so we just have to go along with it.
Yes, I think that was one of the things that I've learned right from the beginning. But I think there's also just the amount of changes that are happening. Although it's not mainly government-led, it is definitely corporation-led. There's so many corporations out there that are making their own business day to day to become sustainable and to change their businesses to a sustainable practice. So that I wasn't aware of.
Yeah, it seems to be a market-led change.
Yeah.
Certainly here in Australia as well, because, well, to be brutally honest, our government is a bit of a shambles when it comes to being proactive.
Anything.
Yeah. Look at Juice Media with their videos and also their podcast, which is excellent. And they've got it so right, but it's also so painful that this excellent satire of Australia, and they've done others around the world, but it is so true, unfortunately. But I'm so glad they do what they do and raise more awareness too. It is absolutely fantastic. So could you give us some of the changes that have perhaps been made? You know, we've got the awareness of waste, but some of the changes that have been made, either you or we as a whole family, as a result of the podcast and the guests that we've spoken to.
So I think definitely the bin, that was the first change with the first week. Also considering and feeling a little bit guilty when we are purchasing things. So I always question myself whether I need it or we can do without.
Yeah.
Hence our kettle is still leaking. Not because we can't afford a kettle light.
Since just about before we started this podcast.
I know, and I've been fighting to keep it going just because it still works, even though it's leaking.
Well, now it's no longer even plugged in because it's a bit of a danger. So I get your thought process. Do we really need it? But then potential electric shock and death, possibly. Mm. Yeah.
And I think this is probably not just part of the podcast, and I've started this journey beforehand, but I think the podcast has helped me to push a little further, is buying no-waste products and helping no-waste products and promoting no-waste products, but also just making sure that whatever we buy can be recycled, whatever we buy can be reused, and so on. So, and it's fascinating because we went through a stage, and I'm still going that we were in the shops, and I'm trying to find something that any product that doesn't contain a plastic bag, a soft plastic bag.
Yeah.
And we've changed our way of shopping. We don't go to the supermarkets anymore. We don't go to the big Woolworths or Coles just because of that in general. I mean, unless we cannot buy a product and we need a product from there, otherwise we'll just go and purchase it from Wasteless Pantry and things like that.
Yeah. Absolutely. So would you, or have you got a favorite episode or a favorite couple of episodes? I'm sort of broaden it probably because of my own thoughts in terms of the question, but have you got a couple of favorite episodes and why? Why are they your favorites?
I actually think that every single episode is my favorite. Every single time we've interviewed someone, I always kind of go, oh, this was a good one.
Mm-hmm.
We've touched this and this and this, and you know, the public is able to hear all these these things. So I don't think I have a favorite in general.
Mm-hmm.
I love it when we manage to get open up in terms of the things that really cause hard damage to our planet.
But also, I don't know whether it's the same with you, but also when we have guests that really open up in that way that we really feel their emotion and their feelings as to why it affects them so much, or whatever that thing may be, per episode.
Yes, yes. And I think a little bit biased here because I absolutely love animals. And it's actually a good thing for the planet. So whenever our guests mention about eating less meat, turning to a plant-based diet, it kind of ticks a little box in my heart. Mm-hmm. You know, there's less harm to our planet and there's less animals dying. So
yeah. I completely agree. I think I'm completely with you on all of those points. But we're aligned, which is good considering
we're
married and we live together. Being aligned is handy. So thinking back to when we started with the kids at Bold Park, which was a Bold Park school, sorry, just to be clear, which I thought was absolutely fantastic, strangely nerve-wracking, even though it was my son's or our son's classmates, but we were putting ourselves into a whole new role. But thinking back now, is there anything that you would have done differently starting it?
No, not at all. No, I think this whole podcast idea.
What are you talking about?
Someone in this room had this idea, came like a big wave, and it's just carrying us through, really. Mm-hmm. And every single bit of it, every single part of the journey is something that amazes me. And the guests are unbelievable. Probably the odd mistakes that I do. And I know I do a lot of mistakes, but no, I would not change anything. Mm-hmm. I would interview all of our guests again. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure we're planning to. They've always been wonderful. We've learned a lot and we have so much more to learn. So no, I wouldn't change anything.
If I was to answer the same question with that one episode, I'd love to have the opportunity. I know this can be problematic with parents not wanting it, but I'd love to be able to film them as well, just because I liked a lot of their how the kids were speaking, but also their reactions to things and how all of a sudden they're doing it. They're throwing their eyes up in the air and they're really thinking about it. Mm. But they came up with answers very, very quickly with a quick thought. So going back to something we spoke about earlier, it gives me hope as well, which was great. But I'd love to have been able to film them and let people see more of these great kids and their answers. But that's probably my only. It's not a regret. It's just something I'd like to do differently. Do you have frustrations regarding, I guess, the climate change? And what are they? What are those big frustrations?
Yes, I cannot believe that we live in a world where corruption is still number one priority of mostly governments and large corporations. I can't believe we live in a world where large corporations, because of money, are allowed to do everything with our planet. Mm-hmm. And we are bystanders. It frustrates me. It really frustrates me. And I understand that we all have our families to protect and to obviously see a future together. But it's frustrating how helpless we can be. Even though voting is supposed to help, it never helps enough. So I don't know if there's just not enough voting or corruptions beyond the voting or the larger corporations in this world have so much influence over governments that would not matter anyway. But that's my frustration, definitely. Yeah. There's just this should stop, really. It should stop.
We have, I guess, learned also that there are things that we can do. Obviously, we've said, you know, we've gone vegan. That's fine, and that's great. And I feel physically so much better for it, mentally so much better for it, and I think everybody in our small group does. But
we are a big group.
No, not. I don't mean of all vegans. I mean in our household. Very small group. There still sometimes feels more than it should. But what I was thinking is that we can all vote with our wallets, which is a big game changer as well. I mean, if we simply stop buying certain products and only buying those that are better for the planet, better for the environment. Mm-hmm. If we start investing our money only with people and businesses and so forth that are actually doing good, the more and more people do it, the snowball effect will happen, the more and more people will get on board with it. But I do get your frustrations. I'm not.
Yeah, I think one simple example, just because I've been at it for so many years and I'm still losing. I am buying a product that has a plastic bag, and most of the products that you buy at the moment, in terms of just food, just necessities, nothing else, that has, from any supermarket, that has a plastic bag, manufacturer should be responsible for. It is my responsibility to recycle it. The council that I pay taxes for to collect my waste and so on is not responsible for it. So it's my responsibility to pay for a product and recycle it. And it's my guilt. I'm taking that guilt when that bag doesn't end in a recycling plant and it ends up in landfill.
This is
what's wrong with our economy now.
I get that, and it's been set up for quite a long time, and so it's going to take a fair bit of sea change. But I think that sea change is coming. I think
it's
starting to make change, and it's starting to make a difference, which is fantastic.
It is. Is that we can definitely see change. There are still frustrations there, but we can definitely see that things are changing, that there are a lot of innovative companies out there and a lot of people that are putting their whole effort in. So that's probably the thing that keeps us going, that there's just so many out there that do care.
Yeah, I think so. So we do this together.
Yep.
The podcasts, the questions, the bookings, everything is all us.
Yes.
We have somebody to help us with editing, which has been fantastic, but not always. So I wanted to understand what frustrates you about me doing a podcast and what I could do better. And I don't want a ridiculously long list. Just some simple tips would be nice.
I don't think there's anything, actually.
No,
we can talk about the other business and then we No, there's actually nothing. We have fun.
We really do have fun. Yeah.
And especially when we do our intros and so on, that it always ends up with a big laugh.
That is comical.
There's always someone who does a mistake. And
if not both.
Or both, exactly. And we have to record it several times. So it's I'm enjoying it. It's really lovely to work with you on that.
I've got that on video now.
Oh, no. I'm not going to ask you the same questions because I'm sure you're going to tell me the whole long list that frustrates you about me.
There's not at all. I actually would say that over the course of doing this, I actually think you've started to develop even more confidence. I think you've been slightly more outgoing and also more positive, I think, about where we're going as a race, which is kind of a big thing to say, but I think actually it's helped. Maybe there's therapy in podcasting.
Yes, if you have any issues with yourself, just do a podcast and you'll get better. You're definitely right there. I'm not a very confident person. So this has kind of helped me a bit.
Especially in front of the camera. You hated that at first.
Especially in front of the camera. I hate the camera.
Well, not
I still hate the camera.
Not even that. It was even when we first started to record and do our voices and things like that, you hated it.
Absolutely.
And don't get me wrong, I don't like the sound of my voice. It's not great. But the benefits I've found, and I don't know if you found the benefits, completely outweigh that. And being pushed out your comfort zone is kind of good.
Because I'm enjoying interviewing people, that's where I actually forget about the camera. And I forget about me and my voice and so on. I really love learning about every single guest. And it's fascinating.
Yeah.
And sometimes I feel like I need to go back to school and learn a little bit more because our guests are unbelievable at what they do.
Some of them are so smart, it's scary. I mean, as again, I'm terrible at saying his name and I completely apologize, but Børge Sigfusson from Carbfix, What a great guest, but also so incredibly smart that did make me feel a little bit lacking. And Tamara Monchoglu from Eva with the concrete, again, fantastic guest, fantastically smart. But I think what is also good, you know, even with Dr. Shahir as well, all of them, we've interviewed quite a number of extremely intelligent people, and yet when we were interviewing all of them, there was not a single point that any one of them was not happy and willing to give of themselves or judgmental in any way. And I think that kind of shows the sign of the people that are coming to the podcast, but also the good nature of the people that want to help save the planet. They're genuinely good-natured people, full stop.
Yeah.
And that, I think, is amazing.
Yeah, they're amazing. And we have a long list of guests to come. And just so exciting to do every single one. I'm so grateful to interview every single one of them and to learn from them. So it's, yeah.
Okay. If you were to write a note to your younger self, what would it say?
Go volunteer in Africa.
I thought you'd be along the lines. I get it.
Yes, I would definitely go and volunteer, probably everywhere in the world. I'll do less trying to build a future in terms of buying a house, having kids and things like that. Not that I regret having our kids, but I would have just done it a little bit. There's days. I would probably done it a little bit later, and I would have started traveling a little bit earlier.
Yeah.
And in terms of traveling, it's not just going on holidays, it's actually volunteering for charities rescuing animals. This is definitely my thing. I should have become a vet. This was the first profession that I wanted to, I chose when I was young, really, really young. I should have stuck to it. This is what I should have done. Apart from being a co-host in a podcast.
Of course, this was a given.
Yeah. But I would have loved to have the opportunity to volunteer. And I think to all the youngsters out there, don't miss your opportunity, because when you start working and you start having a family, this is really hard to do. So go travel the world, volunteer, help.
And don't let your dreams go.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's very, very wise. So you might recognize this question.
Ooh.
Understanding the climate emergency, what keeps you up at night?
We have 3 kids.
They keep us up at night by the fact that they keep crawling into our bed because they won't stay in their bedroom. But I get what you mean.
We have 3 kids. Our youngest is 4. Mm-hmm. They have wonderful, wonderful view of the world and of the animals that are our neighbors. And if I see Luca crying one more time because his favorite animal has become extinct, it's going to break my heart. This is what will keeps me up at night. It's hard to see, it's sad to see our world disappearing.
I mean, Luca, who is 11 now, he understands a lot more of what's being lost. And he gets, I mean, he's very passionate as a child anyway, but he's very passionate about animals and the environment. The younger two, so middle one is 6, Leon, he gets it. He's very gentle soul.
There's a bee.
Exactly.
He'll
come running in to call us to help a bee that may be stuck or, you know, that looks like it's struggling to get anywhere to safety. So I think that's great. And Sebastian's 4. I think he gets some of it, but he's 4. But what also worries me is that you've got these 3 kids with so much life ahead of them and so many things that they could and should experience. I just hope that we can change things quickly enough that they can actually have that experience.
Mm, exactly.
Experiences. So what keeps you optimistic for the future then?
kids.
I think
it's definitely the young generation. They are amazing, absolutely amazing, and the way they're changing and evolving, it's impressive. It's something that we can't do, our generation can't do. But there's a lot of people out there now with the podcast. I know there's a lot of people out there that are either starting a business on a sustainable basis because they see where the money is being invested in at the moment, or they have a passion for it, or yes, they're just being pushed by the customers and so on. So there's definitely a lot of change. A lot of change is generated by the kids. So there's a lot of adults that are being motivated by their own kids and being pushed by their own kids. Mm. Definitely kids, and the fact that there's a lot more people involved now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. I completely agree. So that is the end of my questions as such. But I also wanted to say a couple of things anyway before you ask me any questions, because it might change after that. But I wanted to say how delightful this journey has been, not just in terms of the people and everything else, but spending the time with you doing this, but also your passion that you've always had in environment and always had in animals that is now infectiously, probably the wrong word at the moment, got hold of me and has made me better and want to be better and do better. And hence, we're doing the podcast. So I just wanted to say thank you. If you want anything else?
Thank you. Thanks for this.
You're welcome.
I was always considered the crazy one.
Well, you're still crazy.
Just because of my passion and the fact that I love animals and I'm so weak around them. So I care for nature and so on. So I was always considered completely crazy, bonkers sometimes because of it. But and sometimes actually I felt guilty because I'm not maturing. Mm-hmm. I felt that a sign of being mature is to grow out of loving animals, grow out of loving your surroundings and loving Earth in general. And the more I mature, the more I find more mature people around me that have the same passion. So it's I finally found my group.
Yeah, I completely agree.
Right, so I'll start on my questions.
Here we go.
So we started the podcast in December 2020.
Yes.
And we did not have enough time to introduce ourselves properly or to share the reason behind starting this podcast. Mm-hmm. Obviously, it's you that had this idea. Why?
We'd been trying to do more.
Yeah.
And my concern was that I was never going to be able to do enough. To be honest, it's still my concern. It's not gone away. I'm just getting more opportunities to do more.
Yeah.
And that's been through the podcast. And so part of it was to do more, to get more out there to everybody else that can also learn more, change more, and make a difference. And yeah, I think it was all born from that slightly feeling of helplessness. How can I change this? How can I make a difference? How can I make things better for my kids and hopefully, you know, see grandkids and so forth? And I just felt that if I didn't do something, I would always, always regret it. So so that's where I was. I was sitting in the car listening. I've been listening to podcasts for a long time. And then I just thought, well, we should give it a go. We should do one.
Because we are so qualified for this.
Absolutely, completely and utterly unqualified at the time to do any of that. But sometimes if you don't just jump in and give it a go, then you never will. And sometimes you have to take that plunge and learn. It's a steep learning curve. It's been a very steep learning curve. But I've enjoyed all of it. Some of the technical side of it frustrates the heck out of me, but that's not the main part of it.
Mm. I think it is true, that feeling of not doing enough. Mm-hmm. There's a lot of our guests that feel that way.
I'm not sure that's going to go away.
I think no matter how much we do, until we solve this crisis and until we see that there's no
not
more...
Not we as in us, but collectively.
Collectively, indeed. I don't think we will be able to ever solve it on our own, or that we do enough to solve it. But until we collectively solve this and until we stop seeing... endangered lists and places that could go underwater, and people being affected by climate and so on. There's never going to be enough. Yeah. So, what have you learned from the podcast that you did not know before? There's loads of things.
There is loads. I mean, every single episode I've learned something, without a doubt. And some I've learned a lot more than others. And some of that comes down to what I perhaps would have researched before and so forth. There's some very disturbing things that I learned about, which I find really hard to deal with. And you know that I find some of these things hard to deal with. We were speaking to Emma Hurst, Animal Justice Party MP in New South Wales. And she was talking about trying to ban crush videos, videos where they quite literally crush animals for enjoyment. That still gets me, and I think it will always get me, that people can be that barbaric. And that was extremely tough. But then, you know, we spoke to somebody like Adam Bruncher from Southern Ocean Carbon Company. That was a very early episode, but it was so positive, so uplifting. And that was fantastic. And I also learned this kelp can grow like half a meter a day. Where's that fact been all my life? I thought, how do I not know something as amazing as that? And that it can sequester more carbon than land-based forests. So things like that I've just found absolutely fascinating. And I desperately love the subject of sustainability and all of its facets. I think I'd find it very hard to be a sustainable consultant of something in one area, because I find it all fascinating. I find it all incredibly motivating to say, we've got this problem, but let's get our heads together and learn how to fix it and learn how to do better. So, sorry, that was kind of a long-winded answer, but they were just a couple of things, but it's every single show. The CO2 and saving a gigaton of CO2 in concrete. Wow. The list is so long. It's
turning CO2 into stone.
Exactly. I mean, it's so impressive.
Just amazing.
It is. There's so many.
There is so much more. I think just going back to your Animal Justice Party and Emma Hurst, now you're kind of understanding where I'm coming from years and years and years of animal rescue. I'm surprised I don't have depression. We have to talk about this, and I'm not ashamed to talk about depression. And I think people should be open about it, because you can get help out there. But with the stuff that you see out there, with the things that people can do to animals, it's just horrendous. It is absolutely horrendous.
It is. But I think the issue, as we're going to talk about depression, and obviously you know that I know it clearly from my experience, but what is good is that we're in a position where we're doing something. It may only be a little bit, and we'll do whatever we can, and we help people wherever we can and animals wherever we can. Mm. But the good thing about it is it's not been disabling like depression can be. We've managed to keep more active.
And it just motivates us to do more.
Exactly.
That's the thing. I think I have to say thank you to my mom and my dad for making me as stubborn as I am. I'm not sure you're going to say thank you, but otherwise I think instead of just keep on fighting and keep on doing whatever I can do, it's so easy to sleep on the other side. But
it is unfortunately quite easy to put your head in the sand and not think about what is happening to these animals.
And just in all the animals, 12 planets, it's hard.
It is.
Now, I had a question that I wanted to ask you as you were talking about the podcast and the guests. Mm. Was there a podcast where you thought, I want to get involved in this? Or was there a podcast where you didn't? Because with every single podcast that we did, I just wanted to be there and do that.
Yeah, I kind of wanted to jump in and be part of every single company and every person.
Every project.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And I still do every time. Mm. I guess we're in a lucky position that hopefully we might get involved in some in the future. But we'll see what turns up there. But yeah, I don't think there's a single one that I thought, oh, I'd love to get involved in that. You know, right from Erin Rose at the start, looking at zero waste and some of the talks that she does. We need to get this done. We need to make sure that we're getting involved, getting more of these talks done, getting more of these kids learning. And absolutely, and there's a lot we are still doing on the side. But yeah, every single one.
And then the following week, we need to get involved in the
kelp. Yeah, exactly. We need to start growing some kelp. We need to start seeing if we need to ship CO2 over to Iceland to get it caught into, held in the stone. We need to reduce the CO2 of concrete. We need to eat less wasteful products. Obviously, being vegan is fine, but you know, it just went on and on.
Do more composting. We actually bought another
extra composter as a result of this show with Hannah. But yeah, all of them. And I think you have those conversations, and because it's not quick, it's not a quick 5-minute conversation or a quick email or anything else like that. You spend on average an hour with these people. Mm. With Dan Richardson, we spent over 2 hours, and he was happy just to let it go because the conversation kept going.
Yeah,
and I learned an amazing amount, and we still text and we still message him and so forth. So it's almost like developing some friends as well.
Yeah, Nudnik. It really is.
So with the girls from Nudnik. We're constantly sending them images and pictures and videos of our kids wearing their stuff because we think it's so amazing what they're doing.
Yeah.
And you build that connection over that hour or so interview.
Mm.
Sorry.
It's just unbelievable. I think with every single interview we're...
Lindsay Larusso. Wanted to say her name rather than just saying the dick.
Yeah.
There we go.
It's exactly that with every single episode. You just want to get involved. Mm-hmm. But there's only one of us, plant trees, three sisters, raise money with Dan for Born Free Foundation, which we will.
Yeah.
It's coming, Dan. climb a mountain.
Yeah.
I'd love to be able to get involved, that time to get involved in every single one of them. What stories have remained with you from our podcasts?
There's probably two from Dan Richardson,
Yeah.
There was the one of him going to get his dog, just having to go and get his dog from Romania and rescue the dog. I think because we, or you more especially, have been involved in that for quite some time, that really rang true.
Yeah.
And then him talking about canned hunting. And again, that was another thing I learned about. I knew nothing about canned hunting before we did the research for the show and then continuing on with the show. So they're two, but I think there's so much on there, all of them again. I also think he's Gravel. Have I got that?
From Extinction Rebellion.
Extinction Rebellion. Yeah. Her story was great.
Yes.
And she was so passionate. Well, she is so passionate.
So emotional as well. Exactly. It made me emotional.
And we were in such a lucky position that was local to us, that we got to go to the rally. We went and we laid down in the streets in the centre of Perth City and blocked the traffic in protest. For the climate change, and that creates a strong connection to people because you're getting more involved.
Indeed. What did you take from your journey so far? What made you better throughout the podcast? What things have you changed, or has your mindset changed?
My mindset has certainly changed. I'm more optimistic about the future. I'm more excited about the opportunities within the sustainable area than I ever was. And don't get me wrong, I was quite passionate about what could be done, but I didn't know how much was being done and how many things are being done by so many great people. So that side of it, I think, yeah, that absolutely changed me. And I think I'm a lot more optimistic, a lot more motivated to do better than before. But in terms of the everyday bits and pieces, I still make mistakes, but trying to not buy stuff with plastics, trying to be better. I make sure as best I can, I go to the markets every Sunday. Admittedly, I try and, you know, put a coffee in there and I'll catch up with a friend at the same time, which is why not. But I try and make that change and don't just sort of say, oh, it's all right, we can get it from a supermarket or things like that. And it's making that effort to change, but it doesn't have to be that hard, actually. Some of it you slip up on. Sometimes you make mistakes, but I don't think any of us should beat ourselves up about it. I still feel guilty, but
it's impossible to be perfect in every single thing that we do. So we all make mistakes.
Yeah, absolutely.
I think there was one of our guests that said that's better to be imperfect in sustainability and do it rather than and ruin it by trying to be perfect or stopping because
I think she said it was imperfect in many, many things and perfect at none because you're going to touch that many more areas. It was good. We should try and get that quote written out somewhere, I think.
Yeah. Obviously, our podcast is about climate change and is about our planet. Where is your happy place and how is climate change affecting your happy place?
I think my happy place has always been the ocean or the sea. It always has. It's the place where I feel the most calm, the most at home. And it doesn't need to be any particular ocean or any particular sea or anything like that. But it is where I get calm from. And we saw it, you know, sometime over the summer, you know, getting really stressed with lots and lots of bits and pieces to do. Take a dip in the ocean and that's gone. It's just like cleaned away. But on the other hand, we're going there and I'm seeing bits of plastic washed up. I'm seeing fishing nets and fishing gear and toothbrushes and bags being discarded and just left to blow everywhere. So that side is tough to see. It's tough to see these fantastic oceans being completely squandered and raped of all their richness. You know, watching the Seaspiracy movie and things like that. And we knew a lot of that beforehand. It wasn't a surprise to us. But it still is very poignant and still is very, very powerful. Ocean is my happy place.
I think I tried to help Sea Shepherd for a long time in donating small amounts or purchasing some of the t-shirts and hoodies and things like that.
We had three pirate kids not that long ago. Unfortunately, they've grown out of them now. We have to replace those.
Yes. hence, we follow their journey as well. So hence, we've kind of learned about what's happening.
We should try and get them on the show. We should.
It'd be amazing. Yeah. Yes, it would be absolutely amazing.
Anyway.
I think we've touched about starting the journey. Were you pessimistic or optimistic about our future?
I think I was certainly more pessimistic about our future. Not just us personally, but our kids and globally. And I am certainly vastly more optimistic now than I was before. We can do it. We have all the knowledge. This is not us personally. We as a royal, we. We have all the knowledge to be able to make the changes that are required. The issue is getting enough people to do the change, to make the change, and to get governments on board, and to, I don't really want to say overthrow because it's a little bit antagonistic, but change the mindset of governments that are purely looking at, say, GDP, or purely looking at, well, if they're going to pay for me to get into power and to get into this position, I really need to make sure that they're paid back. And often that is, you know, it could be the fuel lobby or the fossil fuel lobby. It could be farming lobbyists, and seeing and hearing that side is tough. But more and more people are aware of it, and that awareness is good, because less and less people are going to accept it.
As you're talking about that, there's one thing I want to mention that probably hasn't been highlighted in our interview with Shahir.
Yeah.
Through his journey with climate action, he's interviewed a lot of people, and he's asked every single one if they've ever been to speak to their local MP about any of the climate change issues, about any of their welfare issue, any personal issues and so on. And there weren't that many that ever contacted their local MP.
I think it's hardly, I'm not
and
even sure it's a good one.
This is one of the things that kind of just clicked with me that day, because I have so many frustrations, as you can see. And I've never ever been to our local council to discuss with our local MP about the issues. And I think not many people are doing it. That's why they're there. That's why they're elected. They're paid through our taxpayers' money. And they're elected there to listen to us and work with us. And I think the more we are going to stand up, the more we are going to go there, including the two of us, the less chance they will have not to act on things. The more chances they'll have to know, to understand and to learn where we're coming from and what we want. So to everyone out there, please, please, please go and speak to your MP. If you have, please speak to your MP on your local issues, on your climate change issues. If you're passionate about the animals, if you're passionate about nature, go and speak to them, complain, email, write letters, harass them. That's why they're there.
Well, you had the idea of developing almost like an open letter too.
Yes.
So I think that's a really great idea. I think we should put it out there to anybody that listens to the show, if there's somebody that could help us with the logistics of how to set that up.
Yes.
So that people can automatically just click on a letter that could be sent to whatever. Like I said, obviously I don't know the logistics of that. I'm not technically great. But yeah, if anyone can help us with that, that would be fantastic.
Yes, I think we should help everyone to be able to contact their local MP. These people are elected and in their functions because they're there to help the local community. And let's make them help us. If you have any concerns, address them. If you have any things that you want to change about your future, about your kids' future, we all have to go there. And that's just one thing, again, that I've learned throughout the podcast, not even considering. It's something that's so close to you, not even being able to realize it, that you actually have that in your power and in your right. Going back to your questions, what frustrates you about the situation we're in?
Oh, God.
that's why when you asked me,
the blatant inaction of some governments. Okay, this would be completely on the table. The blatant inaction of the Morrison government, more than anything else at the moment, it makes me so angry. You know, they've just given away $550 million to set up a new gas power plant. And then we find out that it's actually a government company that owns that as well. And it's just blatant, and I'm just so frustrated.
Blatant corruption?
Well, that
completely
too. It
too.
Is. It is blatant
completely.
Corruption. But also, you know, with the Australia's tax on electric vehicles that they're looking at. So it's been passed in South Australia that they now have a tax on electric vehicles. Every other modern country at the moment that's dealing with electric vehicles is putting an incentive to do it. They're not taxing them. So we're getting taxed for helping our air be better. We're getting taxed for stopping using Australia's ridiculously sulfurous fuel at the pump. Australia has some of the worst fuel in the modern world. The sulfur content in our fuel over and above anyone else's wouldn't be allowed. In the UK, we would not be allowed to use the fuel that they use in Australia. And yet they tax people that aren't using it.
I think countries in Europe had a vehicle, electric vehicle incentive back in 2010, 2011, 2013.
Yeah, and hybrid, I believe, as well.
And
hybrid
as well.
And electric, yeah.
In Australia, 2021, and we don't have a vehicle, electric vehicle incentive.
South Australia have just put, this is the weird thing, South Australia have put a tax on, but they also got an incentive. However, the incentive is ridiculously small and much, much, much less than the tax.
Yeah, exactly. I think you're right. When countries all over the world, Europe is full, countries that are not as developed as Australia in terms of, let's say, legislation and budget and so on, they are applying all the technologies, all the innovative technologies that are out there to become sustainable, to become first in line. They're out there. Just countries that you would not think about, and they're out there doing it. They're out there doing wind turbines, farms, and solar where they can, just becoming sustainable. They have electric vehicles, they have incentives, and so on. And Australia, it's still, in 2021, promoting fossil fuels.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah,
we love this country. It's
a beautiful
country. We moved here because it's just an amazing place to live, and we would love it if it'd be just that more amazing, just to become sustainable and to create a better future for our kids.
Yeah, and we have possibly the most perfect climate to do it.
We do, indeed.
Yeah.
Indeed, that brings us...
That's a huge frustration, anyway.
What gives you hope? Some of the questions that we ask our guests.
So there's two things. There is the one that I think we all say, which is the kids, absolutely the kids. I see their ability to mobilise and get to the streets and demand a voice, I think is outstanding, and we should learn from them. All of us should learn from them. But also, I get hope because we get the likes of speaking to some of these guests that are doing it. They're making real positive change. They're saving tons and tons of fabrics from going to landfill. They're capturing CO2. They're saving CO2. They're growing kelp farms. They're
educating people.
They're working with builders and contractors and developers to make buildings more sustainable. There's so many of them that all of it is giving more and more hope all the time, which is fantastic. I mean, when we spoke to Dr. Shahir Masri, I get the sense that he had the same kind of thing. It was a frustration, but things are happening. Yeah. Things are changing. It's the speed of it.
It could be
a frustration, which I shouldn't be going back onto the frustrations of the hope question. But no, I have a lot more hope now than I did before.
That's good. That's good. Name four things that everyone should change now.
Reduce your waste and reduce your plastics.
Cool. Two.
change your banking, change where you put your money. It's a big, big change.
Yeah.
And that kind of goes on to being aware of where you spend as yes. well, and the impacts of what you're spending on. What would be the fourth?
If it's just three, it's three. Three is enough.
Leave it with me. I might give you the fourth by the time you finish questions.
That was my first my last question.
Oh, actually. That was? Okay.
That was my last question.
Okay, in that case, I failed on four.
Three is fine. I wanted to say thank you, first of all, because you had this wonderful idea, wonderful, crazy idea to start the podcast. And also because you're putting up with me and my crazy, crazy self.
Well, we've been together for a long time. I'm used to it now.
And because you're allowing me to go through these crazy ventures and donate here and help there and rescue here. And yeah, thank you for that.
Plant more trees.
Plant more trees.
That could be number four.
Plant more trees. Yes, exactly.
I mean, it's not the only solution.
Yes.
There are many, many, many solutions. But it's a good one. It's a big one. And
it's an easy one.
Very easy and very satisfying. Mm. What is it? 50 pence planted a tree?
Yeah.
That's nothing.
It
Absolutely
is.
Absolutely nothing.
Exactly. And the other thing is, if you don't want to spend 50 pence and you want to spend $50, you can buy your own tree and plant it in your own garden.
Exactly.
So yeah. I think it's easy and it's so lovely to plant a tree in your own garden if you can. Plant as many. It's true. It's a good
it
one.
It is. It's or very donate. Satisfying. Yeah. I mean, I can't even count how many trees we've now put in our garden. Yeah. I can't. No, I'm not going to even try and think now. But it's quite a lot.
We're going to have a forest. A mini forest.
A mini forest. Studio forest.
Yes. Next time when they're all grown, we're going to do a podcast from our mini How to Be Good Forest.
Yeah.
Excellent. Cool. So I think that's the end of our interview with each other.
I think it's good. And I hope you enjoyed it. I hope this wasn't too off the wall and too different from our normal episodes. But I thought it would be good to get some context about, I guess, us who have been doing this for a while.
Yeah.
And why we're doing it. And I guess the feedback from us interviewing all these amazing people.
Yeah.
So we wanted to thank you too. We wanted to thank you for listening. Thank you for being part of the show. Please send more questions, send more ideas. If you want to be part of the show, just reach out and get involved. We answer all of our emails ourselves, and it'll be great to hear from you.
And thanks for the messages and the lovely post that we received from you. It's so nice to know that you're there listening to our podcasts and following our feeds on the social media. And don't stop, please. We need your help.
Absolutely. So next time we'll be resuming as normal with guests, so you won't have to hear quite so much of me, which is good. And in the meantime, take care, stay safe. Talk to you soon. Bye-bye.
Bye.